The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, Josh. And it's always a blessing to hear one of my sons sing, and so thank you so much for that. Well, it's good to be home. Thank you for praying for us as we were in the Philippines, and just a wonderful, wonderful thing happened. As we were over there, God opened the door. Many years ago, we started going into the public schools. It was by purpose. The first time I ever went to the Philippines was year 2000, I believe, 2001. And we went to the Philippines. I was preaching for Dr. Leonardo Ribatan. Of course, he's out there past Bacolod a little bit, out in Manapala, a very country town in Manapala. About 150, maybe 300 yards down from his church was a public school. And I asked Brother Ribatan, I said, are you in the public school? And he said, no. He said, we're not in the public school at this point. And God opened a door for us to be able that week during that conference to get into the public school. Population was about, I guess, 2,000 to 3,000 students. And we're able to go in there. We took a sound system. We put it on a flatbed and was able to do a general assembly after they did their flag ceremony. And God blessed in a wonderful way with hundreds and up into the thousands of those young people coming to know Christ as Savior, opened a door for us to be able to get back into the public schools. And what a wonderful thing it has been. And only God has opened that door. But it's been a wonderful thing to see what God has done, open the doors, and all we're doing is simply walking through them. And it's the Lord that opens those doors. But we've been able to get into public school after public school after public school after public school. And it's just really been neat to see what God has done. I cannot begin to tell you how many public schools that we have walked into where the principal gets saved and the school teachers get saved. And they have a form of understanding the gospel, but yet not entirely. Sort of like when I was coming up as a Catholic boy, I understood who God was. I understood who Jesus Christ was, but I never connected the dots. I understood basically what was told me, but I never understood the truth of the gospel. Well, that's like the Philippines, mostly a Catholic nation. They understand a semblance of the gospel. They understand about who God is, who Christ is. They understand about the virgin birth. They understand about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. They just need somebody to come along and help them connect the dots. And that's all we're doing. And they're very open to the gospel, and God's been very kind to us. And I know that Bethany Baptist Church there in Manila has partnered with us 7 years ago. And Dr. Nobley now tells me they're in 65 public schools every week and giving out, of course, character lessons to help people that are saved, that's received Christ because of our teams going in, to be able to continue to grow. Well over 200 soul winners going out every week to be able to help. And we're able to get in 244 classrooms. Now, when I say we, that's us as a team plus all those that came with our teams. Understand, they already have soul winners there that are doing this. And so it's not like when we go over, when you hear 244 classrooms and there's only 13 people, you'd say that's nigh impossible. It would be very impossible if it wasn't for others going and helping and doing. And so it's not just our team that's going over, but because of the conference that week with a double, triple, quadruple emphasis on doing it and getting it done. We meet at the church every morning at 6 o'clock. We'd be in the public schools. Sometimes we'd have teams that would be in the public schools right at 6 o'clock this week just to be able to get there and to be able to get it going. But most of the teams went out at 6:30 and 7 o'clock. But we meet at the church, you know, right at, I think it was 5:30 we met at the church because of the early teams going out. And one of the staff men would give a devotion, and then we get ready to go out. We'd be in the schools all the way up till 8:30, and we come back, eat a light breakfast, and then our conference started at 9 o'clock. And from 9 o'clock up until 11 o'clock, we divided up with pastors' classes, workers' and college classes. And then, of course, we had red-hot preaching at the 11 o'clock hour, ate lunch, went back out to the public schools in the afternoon. So when you hear about 244 classes being visited, that's a lot of work. You're going to take your time. You're going to go through the gospel very clear. You're going to make sure they understand it precisely, because this is the only chance they're going to have to be able to understand the truth and the clarity of the gospel. So it's a lot of work taking time to be able to go in. I'm very proud of all those that went, all those that participated, all those that gave it their very best. Now, because of that, there was 9,489 people that said they got saved. Okay? Now, we praise the Lord for that. You say, how many of them meant it? I'll tell you what I said this morning. I don't even know if you meant it. All I can go is by your word, and when they give us their word that they meant it, then we go by their word just as much as we go by your word. And so we do thank the Lord that those that have made decisions for Christ said that they got saved by hearing that gospel, and that's a wonderful attribute. That's a wonderful tribute, if I may say, to the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His gospel. Take your Bible. Let's go back and look at this again. I want to give you some things in review as we re-examine these verses just a moment here. But look, if you will, in these verses, and let me read them again for simplicity's sake as we're in 2 Kings chapter 2, 13, 14, and 15. The Bible says, and listen to what it says here, and he took up also the mantle of Elijah. The Bible says that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when it also had smitten the waters, they departed, or it says they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now watch this. This is very significant here in verse 15. When the sons of the prophets, now there's 50 of them, when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah, that's the older man that just departed, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha, that's the younger man that's there now with the mantle that God is using. The Bible says, and they came and to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Let me give you the story, if I may, please. There's a younger man by the name of Elisha. Elisha, of course, decides to follow Elijah. Many times in this particular passage of Scripture, in 2 Kings chapter 2, you'll see this. There's decisions that's made by the young man, Elisha, to follow the older man, Elijah. And here's what happens. The Bible teaches that there was those that was viewing him, the sons of the prophets. It mentions it two times here in your Bible. The Bible talks about how he was there at Bethel. He was viewed by the 50 or by the sons of the prophets. It mentions the sons of the prophets there at Bethel. And they remind that which is young Elisha. They say to young Elisha, they say that, do you not understand that your master is going to be taken from you today? Do you not understand that your head is going to be taken away? And both times he said to the prophets, when this was brought up, he said, I know this. He said, hold your peace. In other words, it was an unpleasant thing to think upon. It was an unpleasant thing in order to embrace or to understand. He said, I know that's about to happen. I really don't want that to happen. Hold your peace. Now, again, that happens to him there at Jericho. At Jericho, you'll see there's the mention of the sons of the prophets in verse 5. And again, he tells them to hold their peace. The Bible talks about how Elijah looks at Elisha and he says, I'm going to be going now down to Jordan. And he said, I want you to stay here. And young Elisha looked at him and he said, as long as the Lord liveth, as long as I've got breath, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And over and over and over again, here's what you see. The Bible says they too, I'm going somewhere with this, they too walked on. They too walked on. Now, the Bible could have said that 51 of them walked on, and 51 of them walked on. There's 50 sons of the prophets. You understand that? And so the Bible could have said that, okay, 51 of them walked on, 51 of them walked on, 51 of them. But the majority decided not to follow that which was that man of God, and they decided to view, the Bible says, afar off. In other words, they were not involved. They were just viewing afar off. Here's what you find in America. You find that in America, there are those that are the sitters and there's those that are the get up and getters. There are those that are heavily involved. Matter of fact, a statistic would state that 10% of the church people do 90% of the work, while 90% of the church people watch the 10% of the people do 90% of the work. Now, by the way, it ought not be that way. It ought to be total involvement. You know, if I was a football player, I would not want to sit on the sideline. I'd want to be out there on the field, getting hit and hitting. I'd want to participate. If I was a soccer player, I'd want to get in there and kick the ball, do the best I could, pass it, do the best I could to get a goal. If I was a basketball player, I'd want to try and help my team to make as many scores by placing that ball through the hoop as many times as possible. If I was a team player and I was on a boxing team, I'd want to make sure that I would do my best for the team's sake. If I was somebody that was on a track team, I'd want to do my best for the team's sake. Now, by the way, it ought to be that way in church. We ought to be able to fend for each other, love for each other, help each other. We cry together. We laugh together. We rejoice together. We have a good spirit together. We go forward together. That's part of being a church family. Okay? Now, here's what we see. These guys, these 50 sons of the prophets, in verse 7, the Bible says, and the 50 sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. Watch it now. And they too, the Bible says, stood by Jordan. So over and over again, here's what you see. You see the small remnant going forward while the mass of that which is represented by the 50 view afar off. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to just see the blessings of God. I want the blessings of God. I don't want to just see somebody being able to be blessed of God and have answered prayer. But I want to be that one that is in that place of having answered prayer. I want to be that one that's in that place of seeing God not only just work in people around me, but I want to be so surrendered that God works through me. Now, let me show you just a couple of things, if I may, how people would take and they will respond to that which is the challenge of not viewing afar off. What is involved, if you will, please, of living that life so that you can get the blessing too. Let me speak to you on this, on you could have it if you want it. You could have it if you want it. I remember being a young preacher and I'd hear Dr. Hiles preach and I'd say, boy, I want that. I'd hear a Brother Rowoff preach. I said, man, I want that. I'd hear a Tom Malone preach and I said, oh, I want that. I'd hear a Lee Robertson preach and I said, oh, I want that. And I'd hear and traveled many a mile with Coral Hatch as we'd preach together and I'd preach with Brother Hatch and he'd get up and he'd preach and I said, oh, I want that. Now, may I say that there has to be that desire. Let me show you just a couple of things that they had similar one with the other. Statement number one, they had the same master. They had the same teacher. It was Elijah. And so they had the same person that was there. They were the ones that said, don't you realize to young Elisha that your master is going to be taken from you today? Don't you realize that your head is going to be taken from you today? Now, can I tell you, for some of you that sit in this room, I'm your preacher. For others that sit in this room, I'm your preacher and your pastor. Okay, now watch this. It's not derailing anybody. It's not slapping anybody. It's a growth. It's a growth. Okay, when I became your pastor, you understand that you had to grow into loving your new pastor. It's a growth. It's a growth. When somebody falls in love with somebody else and they come to the marriage altar and they say, I do. Do you know this? That when they say, I do, yes, it is that which they made a vow between them and the other person before the Lord. It's a very sacred thing. But we also know this, that in that relationship, it's a growth. It's a growth. When a new baby comes into your life, into your family life, it's a growth. It's a growth. When you have a new boss, it's a growth. It's a growth. Now, some people would choose to grow with it while other people just kind of sit by and watch it. But the growth will continue to happen. You understand, as long as Elisha was walking with Elijah, it's growing his faith because they were walking side by side. There's been certain preachers in America that I decided many years ago that I didn't want to be somebody that would just sit and listen to them preach. I wanted to get to know them on a personal basis. Now, what did I do? I looked for ways of entry so I could enter into their life and develop a personal relationship with them. You know, that's how come I can mention names and say, oh, yeah, I knew them. Or I can mention a name and say, oh, yeah, we had conversation. Or I can mention a name and I could say, oh, we preached together. You know why? Because of the fact that I chose to enter into their life. You know, somebody can come to our church, and I love every single person that's here, but you can come to our church, and you can sit in the same place all the time, get up and leave as soon as the service is over, and you can do that for years and not have any friends. You can sit beside the same person, and that person, you will only grow to the point and to the level of their Christianity if that's all you know in your growth level with other people, if that's as broad as you are. But that person that does go around, you say, that's not my personality. Well, I love you, but change your personality. You know, go out of your way to shake somebody's hand just a little bit. Or at least when somebody comes up to shake your hand, don't turn them off. At least give them a little bit of a smile so they don't feel like that you're shunning them. Now, I'm saying, here's what happened. They had the same master, the same teacher, that one that instructed them. All of them had the same. They heard the same truth. That's just like the disciples. All the disciples heard Jesus Christ, saw miracle after miracle after miracle. Do you understand that there was a time when 700 followed the Lord? Do you understand? Then 500, then 120, then 70. Then you come down to the 12. Then you come down to that which is from the 12 to the 3, from the 3 to the inner circle disciple, the beloved John. Now, all of them had different relationships with the Lord, but they chose what their relationship would be. You choose. You can be a husband that's lovey-dovey with your wife or not. You can be a wife that's lovey-dovey with your husband or not. You can be somebody that's a college-age young person that comes to a Bible college and you get involved totally, you give yourself totally, you're involved, you're giving it everything you've got, or not. You can come to the choir and sing and do your best, or not. You can come to the church and be friendly and be kind and everybody likes to be around you, or you can come to the church, not be friendly, not be kind, and nobody wants to be around you. You choose what type of person you're going to be. Now understand, they had the same master. They had the same teaching. They had the same truth. But they made decisions in their own life. Statement number one. Statement number two, they heard the same message. Now not only did they have the same teacher, the message didn't change. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel, the Bible says, came forth to Elisha, that's the younger one, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord hath taken away thy master from thine head? It says, today. And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. They had the same message. They knew what was going to happen. They knew that the man of God was going to be depleted from their life. They knew that. That was not a secret. They knew that the man of God was going to be lifted. And by the way, are you listening? We have the same message of salvation, but not everybody responds. We have the same message of that which is soul winning. We have the same message of that which is separation. We have the same message, if you would please, of all these things, but not everybody responds. I've seen teenagers, and all of a sudden they hear what the Bible teaches about music, as far as the way that music is the controller, if you would please, or that which is the infiltrator of the soul, and yet they choose to listen to the wrong music. That's a choice. Choice. You know, we teach about Bible dress and Bible attitude, and we teach about Bible speech, and we teach about staying away from those things that entice you and tempt you and cause you to go astray. But wait a minute, when it comes down to it, the teaching doesn't change, the preaching doesn't change. What changes is when it comes to the acceptability of that which is the teaching and that which is the preaching. By the way, these guys, I heard nothing but accolades of praise. Brother Butler preached while I was gone. Wow. Brother Crutcher preached while I was gone. Wow. Brother Palmore preached while I was gone. Wow. Hey, by the way, they didn't preach from another book. It was the same book. They didn't preach another truth. It was the same truth. You say, why do you have the staff preach when you go off on these mission trips? Because you need to hear them. You need to realize that this church is not built on a man. This church is built on truth. It's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not afraid to let the staff preach in the pulpit, because after all, it's God's pulpit. And so they're going to preach the truth. And by the way, the Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that He is good. Doesn't matter who preaches. And by the way, we all have different preaching styles. Have you figured that out yet? Now, some preachers stand behind the pulpit and they don't move. Some preachers, you can't get them to stand behind the pulpit. And they always move. Some preachers preach monotonely. Some preachers are storytellers. Some preachers are funny. Some preachers are tear-jerkers. And by the way, can I tell you, thank God for all of them. Every single one of them God can use. Don't compare yourself to any of them. My Bible, like your Bible says, some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Well, I wish that so-and-so would preach. Look, whoever's preaching in the pulpit, if you're a member here, God has something for you. Doesn't matter who they are. God has something He's going to lay in your lap. And by the way, when there's gold, you have to dig for it a little bit. But when you find it, you'll be thankful you dug. Amen. Sometimes you have to come to church and look for it. Hello? Not every pulpit message that you hear is going to be fiery and live and energetic, and the preacher's trying to shake the thing that doesn't shake anymore. You know, not every message is going to be that way, but every message that comes from God is from God, and it's to you, and you listen to that message, and God can take that message, and God can change your life. You understand they had the same man? You understand that they had the same message? You understand that these people were sitting in the same area and they're hearing the truth? Come on. Preacher gets up and he preaches a general truth, and the Holy Spirit gives personal application. That's the way it is. And you look at your friend and say, well, how come you didn't get nothing out of that? Boy, God spoke to my heart. That's called personal application. You have a personal Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. He'll give you healing that somebody else might not need. He'll give you comfort that somebody else might not need. He'll give you personal grace that somebody else might not need. He'll give you personal mercy to distribute that somebody else might not need. That's how come when you're looking at your friend and your friend is sitting on the edge of their seat and they're listening to preaching and you're bored stiff. It's because you choose what you want out of the message before you ever get here. The critic brings the critical heart. The person that's receptive brings the receptive heart. The person that's hungry brings the hungry heart. The person that's involved brings the involved heart. You decide long before. These 50 sons of the prophets, they decided how they would receive it long before they had opportunity to receive it. Here's what we understand. They had the same master. They had the same teacher, Elijah. We understand that they heard the same message. And by the way, when a man of God gets up, or when somebody shares the plan of salvation, it's good all the way through. Amen. Amen. You can thank God you're saved. Amen. Well, you know, I've heard the plan of salvation so many times around here, it just, woo! Well, thank God it, woo! Because you'd rather it, woo! Than not woo. Amen. I'm saying it doesn't change. I'm saying this, that soul winning doesn't change. The separation, it does not change. Now, by the way, we may change. Individually, we may change. We may try and follow the fads of the world. I can't understand how a teenager says that they love God would wear a t-shirt that advertises a rock star. There's something missing between here and here and understanding what surrender is. Now, I can't understand how young people would wear shirts that identifies with that which is unholy and ungodly. Hey, listen, take your stand. Amen. Don't wear stuff that identifies you with a worldly, a fashionable type of... You're telling who you're identifying with. Hey, don't do that. You decide to be pure all the way through. You decide to let the trueness of God come out so that God and everybody else knows whose side you're on. I'm saying this tonight. J.R. McDonald said this. He said he was in a mall one day, and as he's in the mall one day, he noticed that a police officer was telling all the boys, turn your hat around. So he went up to the police officer and said, why are you telling them to turn their hat around? He said, because in our mall, we don't allow gangs. And those that wear their hat with the beak or whatever you call it, in the back is a gang sign. And he said, we don't want you know gangs in our mall. He said, so I give them an automatic. You have to turn your hat around and get out of our mall. That's in a public mall. Now, may I say this? There is identification there. Come on. You know, when you don't take a shower and you don't practice personal hygiene in a good way, there's identification there. When you're walking down the hallway and you're singing songs that are not godly, not holy, not right, not pure, but songs you hear off a movie somewhere, songs that have corruption, you're identifying who you are. What's got a grip on you? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, they were hearing the same man of God. They were hearing the same message. They were hearing things that they knew, no doubt, was that which was identifying to that which was God himself. They saw God's power on this man. They saw it over and over and over again. But yet they decided, I'm not going to take and follow that. I'm going to be the group that says, I'm just going to watch afar off just to see what really happens. Now, can I tell you something tonight? That was a choice. They had the same master, teacher, Elijah. They heard the same message. Statement number three, they had access to the same mantle. If they were following close enough, is it not true? As they were following close enough, they could have been there when Elisha and they be a part of it would say to Elijah, I know that you're getting ready to depart, and all I want is a double portion of thy spirit. What do you think, fellas? And all the fellas could have gathered around and said, yeah, me too, yes, yes, me. They could have did that. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. Hello? What'd they do? They viewed afar off. They didn't want to get close. Reasons, whatever it may be. Maybe they thought that Elijah was not wearing the good Jewish type of deodorant. Maybe it was the Jewish cologne that he forgot to wear. Maybe it's because the way he combed his hair was not acceptable in their gathering of fashion. Maybe he was a little rough. Maybe he was coarse. Maybe he was her. Who knows? But these men decided that they were not going to follow close. They could have had the mantle just like Elisha did. They could have said, they could have followed. And so they too walked on. It could have been, hey, let's go. And all 51 of them just followed. They all had the same chance. They all was right there. You know what I love about our church? I love this. And please, if it's different than what I'm thinking right now, don't wake me up. But we have been through some fires. Now, you know that as well as I know that. But our church has such a wonderful spirit. And it's just been neat to see what God is doing. And you walk down the hallway and there's a joy. You talk to different people that come out of the office and it used to be I deeply counsel people, and now it's more people come out of the office just say, hey, preacher, let me tell you how good God's been to me. Let me tell you what God's doing in my life. Let me tell you how God spoke to my heart about this message. And it just seems like that there's such a genuine. Now, by the way, if it is not this way, don't tell me. I'm enjoying my little dream. But right now, there's just such a good spirit, and it seems like the church family is closer since I've been your pastor now today than ever before. It's almost like the 51 say this, hey, I want it. I want God to work in my life, and I want God to work through me, and I want to see what God would do. Don't leave me out. That's the spirit that I'm seeing. By the way, that's not a bad spirit. That's a good spirit. When the men, and I want that mountain campaign in not a demeaning way, But just in a truthful, honest to God way, say, we're going to beat you ladies. And the ladies just nod their head, uh-uh. And yet you're not mad at each other. Well, somebody told me walking down the hallway, said, preacher, you know, we got such a good spirit in our church, it's a shame you're going to ruin it. I heard about Brother Hernandez. I heard this about you. I heard this. Mrs. Hernandez outside leading somebody to Christ. You're getting ready to. Brother Hernandez, now this is according to your wife. But all of a sudden, Mrs. Hernandez got interfered with by Brother Hernandez. And Brother Hernandez went over and led the person to Christ. In the middle of her soul-winning talk. Then Mrs. Hernandez told me in the hallway, that's okay. He's not getting breakfast anymore. He needs cereal. You see, we look for ways to bring the family together. You like that, Tino? I hear it. They had access to the same mantle. You know, I used to hear the great men of God preach, and I'll be honest with you, I'd hear them preaching at first in bewilderment. I said, well, that's a neat thing. And then to be honest with you, I started traveling, or they started traveling with me in some of the conferences. I'd invite them to preach with me. And then I found out that, boy, these guys are not so unique after all. Now, it did not take my respect away from them or my honoring them. I just realized they're human. Now, sometimes I don't do this. Please don't do this. I love you. Don't do this. Now, I thank God you honor me. You love me. That's great. Don't put me on a higher pedestal than what I should be. That's dangerous. Man, you ought to love God so much that if I die of a heart attack tomorrow, and by the way, I don't want to. If I die, I want it to be painless and cowardly. But I do not want to go out like a hero. Say, well, don't you want to be a martyr for Christ? No. Absolutely not. You know, I die in my sleep. Yes. One preacher said, man, I want to die behind the pulpit. I want to go out with a flame. I would say, God bless you. How do you want to die, preacher? I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying there's choices in what we do. We understand that they had access to the mantle. I listened to you guys preach, and I thought, wow. I thought they were perfect beyond words. Wow. And we started traveling and preaching together. And I realized that when I'd visit their room, it was a mess. You know, you visit the room and you think, man, when you're going to walk into it, it's got to be angelic. Everything is perfect. These guys probably have their shoes in a row, their socks in a row, probably got the tie hanging up with the suit they're going to wear the next day. Everything is neatly pressed. Everything is in divine order. Divine order. You walk in the room and you think, how could anybody be godly living like this? Hello? Then you realized they're just men with feet of clay. Can I tell you, that's what we all are? Hey, you walk down the hallway and say, boy, I tell you what, preacher. Man, I tell you what, preacher preaches at these churches. Okay, now I love you, but so what? When I walk into a church, I'm there to help that dear preacher. And I did counseling while I was in the Philippines, and God has given me a ministry to counsel pastors. I do a lot of counseling with pastors, and so I announced to the preachers there, and I said, look, if you have difficulty in your church, you need some thoughts, maybe some seeds of wisdom. And I don't know how many Dr. Carnes, I don't know how many he counseled, and I'm not sure how many Brother Wattenberger counseled, and I'm not sure. I know I counseled 7. And one young man came in, and boy, he just poured his heart out. And he said, I just feel like giving up. I just feel like quitting. He said, nobody in my church appreciates me. Nobody. And we talked about the difference between looking for that, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We talked about doing it for God, not doing it for self-indulgence, not doing it for reward. Hey, look, can I tell you, I'm sorry if somebody doesn't pat you on the back, and I love you in the name of the Lord, and I'm sorry if you get offended because you serve God and somebody doesn't appreciate you. I wish we knew about it, and if I knew about it and I knew you felt that way, I'd be the first one knocking on your door, I promise you. And I'd say, thank you so much. If I thought that giving you a tie as a man would make all the difference in the world, you'd have a lot of ties. If I thought that buying you shoes would make all the difference in the world, I'd have Brother Nash buy you as many shoes as you needed. If I thought that buying you a car, that's Brother Crutcher's department. If I thought that buying you a house, that's Brother Butler's department. If I thought of having an angelic choir to come and sing at your house every day, that's Brother Palmer's department. If I thought that Oscar would cheer you up, I'd send Jonathan and Oscar to your house every day. But to be honest with you, those are just temporal things. Until you get hooked into the one who's Jesus Christ. All these things are incidental. You know, sometimes I think we have our eyes too much on men. Now, you stay with me now, but I think that's how come we get confused in our doctrine. Because you look for the personality and the flair of the man, and it's not the personality, and I love you in the name of the Lord, but it's not the flair of man. It is thus saith the word of God. You know, and if we get back to the point, and by the way, if you love God the way you should, you will love his men. You know, Brother Hiles, I'm going to speak something here, and I hope you get it, because some of you haven't. Brother Hiles was so good at connecting people to truth that many people falsely accused him of connecting people to himself. He didn't do that. He connected them to truth so much, as a byproduct of that, they loved him. That was a byproduct. Can I tell you, if you spend time just telling people about Christ, and the Bible says that we're supposed to lift up the Son of Man, and all men will be drawn towards him. Now, I can't lift these guys up, but I can do this. You know, let's say that here I am, and I'm lifting up Christ. And so, boy, I'm doing my part, and I'm just lifting up Christ. That's all I'm doing. I'm pointing people to Christ, and I'm lifting up Christ. And boy, I'm just... You're heavier than what you look. And I'm lifting up Christ over and over again. Well, you know, if I'm lifting up Christ over and over, if I'm lifting up Christ, how much you weigh?
80 pounds.
I'm out of shape. But if I'm lifting up Christ over and over again, and if I'm lifting him up and he draws, stay with me, just a simple thought. If I'm lifting up Christ over and over again, Brother Yao, and he draws all men to himself, and I'm the one lifting him up, is not some men going to pass my way? But it's not because I'm building me. It's because I'm building the one that needs to be built. Even John the Baptist said, hey, I've learned something. I must decrease, and he must increase. So do we understand this? Stay right there. Do we understand this, that they had the same access to the mantle? I mean, it was there for everyone. Everybody in here can lift up Christ. Everybody can. Everybody in here can be a soul winner. Yeah. Everybody in here can be faithful to church. Yes. We all can tithe. Is that tickling you? We all can read the Bible. Yeah, the Christian life is not complicated, Brother Kavanaugh. It's simply doing the things we already know to do. You know, we all come to church and say, man, I want to learn more of the Bible. Well, you don't. Lifting up Christ. Lifting up Christ. Hey, honey, we've got a decision to make in the home. But here is the foundation of the truth whereby we make all decisions. Christ is first. What are we doing? Lifting up Christ. You can't tell me God's not going to bless your home. In your individual life, you ask the question, what would Christ do? I mean, if he was in my stead, what would he do? That'd help you have the right attitude. That'd help you hang around the right people. That'd help you make the right decisions. Man, I wish I could do this. I wish that I could take and just hold your hand all the way through life. I wish I could. You could call me whatever you want to call me. But I wish I could just hold your hand. You know, we walk into a store and I say, don't look that way. Don't look that way. Don't. Walking down the hallway and you start hearing bad stuff. Don't listen to that. Well, you can't hear me. Walking down, and all of a sudden he starts to walk off to go with some worldly friends. No, not that way. Going this way. Hello? But I can't do that. But you have a Holy Spirit. Amen. That's how come when you come to preaching, it's good to pay attention. Amen. This man of God gets up. Thank you, be seated. Man of God gets up. Man of God says, hey, this is what the Bible says. We're supposed to obey that Bible. Here's the truth. Listen to it. Practice it. Follow after it. Go the right direction. Do what you're supposed to do. Amen. Holy Spirit sends it out. Makes it personal. You go home, talk with your wife, say, honey, this is what I got out of the message. Did you get that? And she says, I don't know what you're talking about. He didn't even preach on that. But the Holy Spirit makes it personal. Now, don't get mad at somebody if they didn't get out of what you got out of it. Well, I know where he was heading tonight. You think so? I think he was heading that way. Let's get the children in, find out what they said. Each child says, they're heading that way. And the dad puts his foot down, says, well, I know, because I walk with God. I haven't seen you read your Bible all week. I don't do that. It's personal application. Watch this and I'm done. Statement number one, I said this. I said that they had the same master, teacher, leader that was Elijah. Statement number two, they heard the same message. Heard the same message. Statement number three, I want you to think about this tonight. They had the same access to the mantle. Statement number four, and I'm done. Then why didn't they get it? Why didn't they get it? To me, it's a no-brainer. They saw the man of God being used. Miracle after miracle after miracle. No doubt they heard the promise. Man, if you're here when I'm taken away, you see me being taken away. How hard is that? How hard is that? Why couldn't they all be standing there saying, I'm watching. I'm watching. Oh, there he goes. Man, why couldn't they get it? Let me show you real quick and I'm done. Number one, because they did not make him their personal master. Here's what they said to Elijah, or about Elijah to Elisha. Thy master, thy head, will be taken from thee today. They didn't say, our master, our head, will be taken from us today. There was no personal investment. It's not the wife, it's my wife. Thank you. It's not the children. My daughter wanted so bad to be here tonight. She is sick, in the bed, fevered. Hey, you think I'm not thinking about her tonight? You think my wife is not thinking about her tonight? And by the way, the fever is not so high, it's dangerous, or she wouldn't be home alone. But you think that we don't feel for her right now? Can I tell you this? That there was no personalness about it. There's nothing personal about it. It has to be personal. Statement number two, they didn't pay the price. Here's what young Elisha said to Elijah. He said, look, I've got to go down to Bethel. Young Elisha said to Elijah, hey, I'm going with you. He didn't say, I'm going to go with you as long as the road is easy. He said, hey, count me in, I'm going. He paid the price to be able to go. Statement number next, and I'm done, here it is. They were not in the right position to receive blessing. You know, I was with Brother Williams. One of the biggest things I ever did with my pastor, Brother Williams, I said this when I went on staff. Worked with him for 8 years. I told Brother Williams when I went on staff, he'd been pastor a long time, well over 25 years when I went on staff there. I told Brother Williams, I said, I promise you, I'll be the best assistant pastor you've ever had in your life. I'll never cause you grief. I'll never try and hurt you. I'll be the best you ever had. I said, I can promise you that from the very front, because I believe that's who I am, not just what I do. Worked for him for 8 years. Came time to leave, and he pulled me in his office, and here's what he said. He said, 8 years ago, you shook my hand as a man, and you said, you'd be the best assistant pastor I've ever had. Now I want to shake your hand. And he said, you accomplished it. And he said, I owe you a debt I'll never be able to pay this side of heaven. Now, can I tell you something? I'll remember that, Josh, for the rest of the days of my life. I'll remember that there was a man that said, this was an incredible trip. Now, by the way, should it not be that way to the Lord? Amen. The reason that I was that way to my pastor is because I was that way to my Lord. You know, the Lord loved the unlovely. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you have ever seen somebody in our church that's unlovely? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you have seen people in our church that has a tongue that's bigger than their mouth? Don't raise the hand. Because somebody will think you're confessing. Come on. How many of you have had Christians in your life that's disappointed you, even to the point that you thought, wow, this is devastating? Sure. How many of you have been in business deals with other Christians and it was the Christian that cheated you? Sure. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying there was the choices. One made a good choice. Then the Bible says this. You ready for this, Brother Butler? I'm done. Let me read you one more verse. Can I do it? One more verse. Here it is. One more verse. Got to read this one more verse. Look at verse 16, same chapter, chapter 2. Is that right? Chapter 2, 2 Kings, verse 16. The Bible says, and they said unto him, behold now. It says, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and to seek thy master. Watch what happens here. Lest peradventure the Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and to cast him upon some mountains, into some valley. And he said, ye shall not sin. In other words, why would you think that the Lord would do something that harsh to one that served him that much? Their concept of God was all messed up. That's why they had a hard time following somebody that was a representation of God, because in their own minds, they're thinking that the Lord is very harsh, that the Lord is unfair. And there's a trust issue with them and the Lord that shows up with them in their relationship with somebody else that stands in the stead of God in their life. He tells them, he said, look, why should I send you? Why should you send? Here's what they did. They urged him. Look at verse 17. And they urged him until he was ashamed. And he said, send. He said, go ahead. You 50 men, go. Go search it out. Go search out the mountains. Go search out the valleys. You're not going to find him. Go search it out. Bible says in verse 18 that they came again. It says, for they tarried, it says, at Jericho, and said unto them, did I not say unto you not go? They searched high and low and couldn't find him. You know why? Because God was the one that was with him, and he was with God, and because of that, he was safe, but they were still insecure. Now, say one thing we need to understand, that you can have it if you want it. You can decide to trust God fully. I don't care who it is tonight. You can have the Lord Jesus Christ preaching from the pulpit tonight, and can I tell you, some would still doubt. Have the Apostle Paul, and some would still question. All right? It comes down to that personal relationship. You can be close to him if you want to. You can serve him if you want to. You can put him first if you want to. But you have to make that choice. I've seen preachers go bad. I've seen church members go bad. I've seen deacons go bad. I've seen individuals go bad. Choice. People with good attitudes get bad attitudes. Choice. People go from non-soul winners to soul winners. Choice. People go from being unfaithful to being faithful. Choice. It's all a matter of choice. And you can have it if you want it.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.